Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Saturday, March the 5th, and welcome to our commentary. It's a warm, windy sort of a day. I mean, it's a little bit like spring. I guess we're not officially in spring yet. In a couple of more weeks, we will be. But it feels like spring, you know, 70 degrees, windy. It feels a little warm. So we're not there yet, I guess, officially, but it's starting to look that way here in North Texas. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about Ukraine, some thoughts that I have about that. The administration is also requesting more money for Ukraine and also for COVID. And I think that's going to be very controversial when they start talking about it in the Congress. And then I wrote an article this morning over at the American Thinker. Why don't we begin right there? I wrote an article over at the American Thinker. You can check it at the American Thinker. I also post these articles over at my Facebook page, my political page, that is, and also on my blog. So if you follow me on either one of those, or if you follow me on American Thinker, you can read it there. And the article has to do with gasoline prices and how gasoline prices, I mean, they're going up like crazy. I just saw this morning, I just drove by the gas station, $3.79. I've never seen gasoline increase in a week, 10 cents, 20 cents, 30 cents. I've never seen that here in North Texas and across the country. Apparently, it's even worse in California and other places. So clearly, gasoline prices are going through the roof. And that is, of course, having a terrible impact on food prices and just about everything else. And I mentioned in my American Thinker post that I think this could have an impact on things like, for example, where people work. You know, many people worked from home during the pandemic because they were able to work from home. You know, companies did not want to have a lot of people working in an office for fear that the pandemic would spread around and all of that. But I can see, and this is what I mentioned in my article this morning, I can see where many people, if given the option, will say, I'll work from home. And the reason is very simple. You don't have to commute to work, and you don't have to, you know, spend money in your tank to commute to work. I mean, if you have a four-cylinder car, a 10-gallon, 12-gallon four-cylinder car, you could very soon be spending $45 or $48 just to fill a four-cylinder car. Now, these people who've got these big trucks and all of that, and some of them need the trucks for business. I mean, the guys who go around cutting grass and all of that, they consume a lot of gasoline as part of their routine. You know, the truckers obviously need a lot of gasoline. I mean, they're going to have to pass that cost to the rest of us, and that's why you're paying more for food. That's why you're paying more to go out to eat and everything else. So this gas price situation is a real problem, and it's not getting any better. And, you know, people talk about $5 gasoline. I remember a few months ago, people were saying we could have $4 gasoline by Memorial Day. Frankly, at this point, if that's what we got, I'd be happy because I think we're going to have a lot more than $4 gasoline by Memorial Day. We could be in $5 or $6 territory. And how do you get away? How do you come back from that? I don't know. I don't know how you do it because, you know, it takes time to replenish your inventories and so on. So gasoline prices are going to be a major problem for the United States, and not just the United States, but in Europe as well, because their gasoline is even more expensive over there because of very high taxes on gasoline. So that's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. And the administration's reaction so far has been to basically say nothing and say, well, no, Well, you know, we're not going to do anything about it. Well, the answer is right here. The answer is right here in the United States. We should be producing more petroleum in the United, or exploring and, you know, putting more American oil in the market, natural gas, coal, whatever we can put on the market so that we can lower these prices, so that Americans can drive at more reasonable prices and industry can operate and run their machines and run their factories at a more reasonable rate. But this gasoline situation is now at a panic point, and it's killing, as I've said many times, killing the American family budget. Well, let's talk a little bit about Ukraine, because there's a lot of misinformation going around. It's coming from all sides. So I would simply caution everybody to be very skeptical of whatever you read about Ukraine, whether it's good or bad. Just, you know, count to 10 before you you believe it, because there's just a lot of misinformation going around. And I suppose it's coming from all sides. I'm not going to blame one side without blaming the other. But it makes it very difficult to know exactly what's going on. So be very careful when you get any information from Ukraine. That doesn't mean that you don't support or applaud what the people of Ukraine are doing. They're doing a marvelous job. I mean, it's fantastic how they're standing up to the Russians. But be careful. Be careful about the information, because not all of it is true. And, you know, you could go off the wrong ramp, as they say, by believing this information of that information. Now, one thing, too, that I think we got to be very careful about. I hear a lot of people talking about a no-fly zone over Ukraine. Look, a no-fly zone means that somebody's airplane is going to be up in the air and you're going to basically tell the Russians that you cannot fly over Ukraine. You know, we had something like this in Iraq. I don't know how many of you remember this, but between the Gulf War, the first Gulf War, and the second Gulf War, we had American planes and British planes enforcing a no-fly zone over Iraq. And that was a consequence of the agreement, the ceasefire, that ended the first Gulf War. And although we didn't lose any planes, it's still a very dangerous exercise, because you're putting your planes and your pilots in harm's way. And in the Ukraine, that's exactly what you're going to be doing, because the Russians, you're going to be going one-on-one with Russians. And these pilots could very well be Americans. They could be NATO planes. So, you know, you could get yourself into a shooting war pretty easily, very, very easily. So I don't think that we should be talking about a no-fly zone. This is not the moment to be doing something like that. I also think we got to be a little bit careful. I'm sending this message now to Senator Lindsey Graham, who I normally like a great deal, but Lindsey Graham has got to slow down a little bit when he's talking about assassinating Putin. Look, I understand what he's trying to say, and I think many of you would agree with me that Putin is the culprit of all of this. But you got to be careful when you start, you know, saying, hey, somebody assassinate him, because, you know, you don't know how they're going to retaliate. You don't know how they're going to retaliate. And I think, as I've said many times before, we all support the people of Ukraine. We all criticize what the Russians are doing. But I don't see any scenario under which American troops ought to be in Ukraine. Now, if he goes into Poland, if he goes into a NATO country, all bets are off. But that has not happened. And I don't think it will happen, frankly. I think Ukraine is his objective, and that's where it is. Now, the Biden administration is requesting $32 billion, $22 for Ukraine. No, the other way around, $10 billion for Ukraine and $22 billion for COVID. Now, I don't have any problem with the money for Ukraine. I'm okay on that. But the $22 billion for COVID raises, frankly, a few questions. Because I would like to see an accountability or what happened with the other money that we spent. You know, we spent a lot of money for COVID. A lot of that money went to send checks to people, obviously. A lot of that money went to pay for the vaccines. A lot of that money went to pay for some of the medical expenses. So I think a lot of that, there was bipartisan, let's say, support for that. But when you're asking me for another $22 billion for COVID, I got to know more information. And the Biden administration is also making a mistake, because they're tying the Ukraine and the COVID aid or package together, which I think is, they shouldn't do that because these are two different things with two totally different objectives. And I think that it should be voted on separately. Again, I don't have any problem with the $10 billion going to Ukraine for, you know, machines and airplanes and helicopters and guns. I don't have any problem with that. That's okay. We did that in Afghanistan back in the 1980s, and it proved to be very successful when the Soviet Union went into Afghanistan. But when it comes to COVID, I think that requires a little bit more thinking, a little bit more time, and we have got to have more information. We don't have it at the moment. So I like to see hearings in the Congress. I want to see people answering some questions. I want to see some balance sheets of where the money is, because we've spent a lot of money in COVID. In fact, you could argue, and I think it's correct, that a lot of the money that we spent on COVID, all this government spending, has probably contributed to some degree to the inflation problem that we have. But we've got to, you know, we've got to be careful here, and at least get an idea of where all the money before has been spent. Because, you know, I was as surprised, I guess, as some of you when I heard that we were out of money for COVID. Well, if we're out of money for COVID, how did we spend money that fast? I don't know. I like to know more. So let's have some hearings and get to know more about what's going on. Well, as you probably saw during the State of the Union, the mask is off. And the same people who were telling us the day before that they believe we have to follow the science, Well, as soon as the political science made the mask unpopular, they began to take it off, and now nobody's wearing a mask anymore. It's interesting. It's interesting because these mask mandates, I think, became a nightmare for Democrats. And that's why you're starting to see more and more Democrat states and more people taking the mask off and, in a sense, doing something else to protect themselves from COVID. So the political science, you know, we followed the political science, and that's how we got to the point that we are. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. And if today is your birthday, happy birthday. Bye-bye, everybody.